Well, this morning, I get to introduce Tom Saunders. Many of you know him. I feel like I have two men in this city that I walk with closely, and it's Paul Vermes and Tom Saunders, that I just really trust who they are. I have Kim Unruh and Alain Cadeau, two different men within Canada that are very close, so Shelton Davidson in India. But they're just men that really speak into my life. But I'll say, if you don't know Tom, I want to say he knows how to be a friend. He is excellent at being a friend. Yes, dear?
We have lots of volunteers for the nursery now.
Could somebody please call some of those volunteers back? So Tom and I have known each other for 28 years and just crossed paths and worked together at different times. We had a great time on a trip in India and Africa. But I will say he does know how to be a friend. But in that friendship, my heart in stating this and even introducing him is a realization, in particular as men, we need the relationships around us. And I will say some of these friends that are like this, Tom is not only encouraging, but I don't know too many people that bring more accountability to me than Paul Vermes and Tom Saunders. And yet, in the accountability, it's never done out of frustration. It's always done out of my best interest. And my heart is to pray that each one of us have relationships, have friendships, have people in our lives that are able to encourage and hold us accountable. So, Tom, thank you for doing that, and it's great to have you. And so, Father, bless this father and bless my friend as he shares his heart and your heart with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Bruce. I love these introductions where you get clapped in advance, right? I may have said this before, and you don't even know what I'm going to do yet, but Bruce talked me up so well, so wonderfully. Here we are. So, it's great to be able to do this, and I like to do it with friends too. So I'm going to invite a few friends to come join me just to get started here. Simi, are you still in the room? You are, yeah. So Simi, you can be here if you would, please. And then Sylvia, if you would come on my side of Simi. Christina, if you would then, I'll move over a little bit right now. Simi has to get out. She's with kids this morning. So Sylvia, come on this side of. And Christine, if you want to come over, just so I don't get lost. You won't get lost, but I'm late. Raina, this is my daughter, Raina. Many of you may not have met her. She's just back from a year in Ottawa. So yeah, come on in here. And then Gary, if you would come. So it was very amazing to have that shared this morning about healing through the Word. Taking hold of the Word. And we've been doing quite a bit of this on Tuesday nights, and it's just an incredible way that God has given us. Sometimes I look at it and I think, this is too simple. This is too simple. You can skate right by it. But it's awesome. So I want to suggest something. It's both speaking and hearing. As Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So one way to think about this, how many have ever gone on a beach looking for shells or rocks or driftwood? Can I see your hands? Just about everybody. Okay. How many have ever gone shopping for something to wear? Have we got everyone covered? Okay. So, it's interesting. Now imagine you're doing that. Let's go to the beach. And you're with a friend. So you're having meaningful conversation. And you're still, right? Can you do that? We can, right? We can both see and hear. And we can be absorbing and listening and at the same time not missing. It's that special something. And you're not even sure what it is sometimes, right? You have to find it before you know it exists. So listening, I find a scripture has some of that in it. There's a purpose, but there's also, well, I don't know what I'm going to find. Because the Holy Spirit will speak. And if he speaks one or two words to you today, the rest that's said here will be of lesser value. It won't be unimportant, but it will be of lesser value. If you get one or two words specific for you, it's like you finding that stone, or the scripture, of course, the treasure in the field. And when you find the treasure, you sell everything, you buy the field so you can have the treasure. So what I'm going to do is invite each of these to just read without the references. Just read through. They're going to speak some words to us along the lines, actually, that Bruce prepared for us without he and I chatting about this, which is wonderful.
Jesus Christ, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of His being. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. In Jesus is the fullness of the deity. He lives in this bodily form.
The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. The Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him.
I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. It's the Father living in me who is doing His work. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me.
I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. All that belongs to the Father is mine.
As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. The Father Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
Thank you all. Does anyone find any stones? Driftwood? Feathers? Shells? Huh? I'm asking. It's not a rhetorical question. I don't ask rhetorical questions very much. When I ask a question, it's because I teach. So rhetorical questions don't help very much. So, anyone? Stone? Feather? Yes? Ginny? All of grace. Thank you. Anyone else? Jen? Oh, that the things that Jesus said about Himself as a Son of God apply to us. We can speak. Wade? Yes, because the Father is in me, I only do what the Father does. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a word you get. It's like a single stone. It just pulses because the Holy Spirit is speaking through it. Anyone else? Yes? No? Chosen. Yes. Big theme for Father's Day. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Rolf, hi. That profound revelation that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That other wonderful scripture that only Jesus can reveal the Father, which is the other side of that coin. Yeah. Yes. Right. For those who couldn't hear, when I go do the things that the Father's calling me to do, that's Him in me doing His work. Yes, because it's Him. Yeah, it's no longer human labor, which is where Jesus lived 24/7. It's all he knew. Joe. So belief in Jesus opens a gate or a door to the love of the Father in a way. We know God loves us anyway. He loves the world. But that opens some kind of special door that we would experience his love. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. For those who couldn't hear, he has revealed all of the Father. Because everything of the Father has been given to him. Father hasn't held anything back from him. And then we come back to what was shared earlier. That means that it's not held back from us either. And he actually says that, I've called you my friends, because everything I've seen and received from my Father, I'm giving you. Yeah. So just for those who read, now I know Simi's gone, so I will play Simi, if that's okay, even though I don't know if I come up to that standard. But for the others who read, I may ask you just to read your verses out again from where you are, now that they're registered for the recording purposes, okay? We'll just see. We'll see how we go. So I want to talk about fatherhood, God's fatherhood, what Bruce was chatting about for a few minutes after worship, and just flowed out of worship today. To be a father, you need to have a son or a daughter, either naturally or by adoption. And so I want to spend a few minutes thinking about God as Father in terms of his kids. Who are his kids? So as best I can see, he's a father in four ways. Four different sets of children, if you like, or child slash children. First, he has an eternal son, Jesus, who is his equal from the beginning. So he's a father before the world was founded, before he created the world. He's already a father. And Jesus shared in the glory of his Father from before the creation of the world. We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. That's the first. Number two, he has the sons and daughters that he created in his own image. Adam and Eve, one he made from dust, the other from a rib. He breathed life into these, and then these, of course, have reproduced after their own kind. They were his sons and daughters to begin with. The third is his eternal son, Jesus, but as man, God. Incarnate as a human being. Uniquely so. One of a kind. This child. There's no other child like this one. He's both God and man. Number four, all those he's adopted and continues to adopt into his absolutely enormous extended family. He's been doing it for generations and centuries, millennia, and he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He's still doing it. In fact, I think the records would show that he's doing it at record rates. He's acquiring children. He's extending his family. He's putting out his own tent pegs as a father, calling so many to himself. Back to number two for a second. God's first human son and daughter, Adam and Eve, thought they knew better than their father. They were made in his image, but that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted something else. In one sense, I find this one way of thinking about it, they were the original prodigal son and daughter from Jesus' parable. They wandered away from their father because they weren't satisfied. Remember at the end of that parable, the father says, everything I had was yours. It wasn't good enough for them. Somehow they had to have it on their own, so they ran. The difference is, there was no short way back for Adam and Eve. They didn't get to go back into the garden. They didn't get a feast. Instead, they were held out. There was a form of separation that happened. And so the father-son-daughter relationship that had been from the beginning was hurt, was wounded, broken in some fashion. That's familiar to us. I just want to suggest that when that happened, God's fatherhood was in some sense impacted too, because his children were alienated from him. And if any of you as fathers have experienced having children alienated from you, you know that's a very different experience from having children that you're connected to, that you share love with, share heart, affection, understanding. You can disagree lots. You know, all kinds of things can happen, but you're connected. And that was broken. And after that, Scripture doesn't say much about God as Father. Bruce again referred to this a few minutes ago. Instead, it talks about those who were chosen by God and their children, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their children being identified by the God of their fathers, their human fathers. God himself is not the father explicitly in these situations. Instead, it's the God of your father or the God of our fathers. And why the Father in heaven chose to hold this revelation is, of course, a mystery. To me, it is, anyway. Why he waited as long as he did. And there's just little bits along the way. Bruce referred to one of them from Jeremiah. There's a number of others. There's prophetic things in the Psalms that speak about the fatherhood of God. Actually, if you go all the way back to Moses, he got inklings of this too. In the very first one, which I find very striking, and it's a good lesson in how we look at the prophetic, is that Moses, from God, spoke to Pharaoh and said, Israel is my firstborn son. Now, I don't know if Israel heard that, if the word got out. This was spoken to the heathen king, and it was God's heart. And it's an encouragement to me, and I think to us, that when you hear prophetic words, and Bruce talked about this last week because he had a word for a couple, pay attention to the heart of the Father coming through the word. Because that's for all of us. The Father doesn't have one heart for you and another heart for you and another heart for you and so on and so forth. He doesn't work like that. He has one heart of compassion, affection, love, forgiveness, redemption. And purpose and destiny and identity. So when you hear those kinds of words, rest in them. Let the heart of the Father resonate through them. And again, it's striking. God said to Moses, tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son. Profound revelation, and it's given to a heathen king. And it's centuries before there's lots of other revelation, and I'm not going to go through it here. I've got it in my notes. But simply to say that all the way through Isaiah, through the prophetic books, Isaiah has some of this. Even in the prophetic word, unto us a child is born and a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders and so on. And what will one of his names be? Everlasting Father. A son who's an everlasting father. Beautiful picture of Jesus. One with the Father from before the beginning of time. But being born as that kind of son who's an everlasting father. When Jesus came, he was unlike Adam and Eve, the created son and daughter that we know about. Unlike them, he didn't seek to be equal with God. We have very clear scriptures about this in Philippians chapter 2. Who, Jesus this is, being in very nature or form God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That translation to his own advantage, again, is a really interesting contrast with Adam and Eve. They were after something they thought they didn't get. Jesus had no such ambition. Instead, he embraced his Father, his Father's love, and approval, and that is very clearly given. So one of the striking things about Jesus' life is that he spent a lot of it boasting about his Father. He liked to talk about his Father and about his relationship with his Father. Those two things were central in his life. He wanted his Father to get the credit. He wanted him to look really good. I want to go back just for a second to that first verse that Simi read. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Christina, do you have that sheet that I gave you? Can I get it back? Because it's got some notes on it for me. Thank you very much. Radiance. I don't know if you ever thought about that verse. I went looking. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Let's start with glory first. We use the term a lot. We were talking and singing about it this morning. It comes from the word doxa, doxology. A doxology is saying glory or speaking glory, which is what we do in worship, though we reserve the term to particular scriptures. And then if you've been raised in many conventional churches, as I was, the doxology, praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and so on. You've got particular statements that stand out. That glory means something that evokes a good opinion. Or, another way of thinking about it, something that's of infinite intrinsic worth. So we've been emphasizing over the last few weeks the goodness of God. That's what the glory is. The glory is God's goodness. His infinite intrinsic worth. But now we have this phrase in front of it. The Son is the radiance of that glory or goodness. And radiance, the term, that particular Greek term is only used once in the whole New Testament. It's the only occasion, and it means light flashing forth. So let's read it in this translation. The Son is the light flashing forth of God's goodness. The Son is the light flashing forth of God's goodness. So just in case you missed it, he's going to get you. He's going to flash. Here's Jesus. And his whole life, ministry, his work, his words are flashing forth the Father's goodness. I always loved Rodney Howard Brown used to say, he said, if I'd been one of the disciples, he said, I would have slept with one eye open. Because I would not wanted to have missed anything that Jesus did. You know, because they didn't know. I mean, to us, it's all nicely laid down for us. We can map it through. We can compare the different Gospels. They didn't know what was going to happen next. Maybe there were times when things were relatively quiet. And all of a sudden, light flashing forth. God's goodness. In a variety of ways. With healings, deliverance, words of encouragement and strengthening and so on. And then very quickly, the exact representation of his being. Well, representation also was only, that word is only used once in the whole New Testament. It has to do with a graving tool. But the actual word in Greek is character, only spelled with a K in the middle rather than a C. The exact character of God's substance or reality is the translation of being, what it comes from. So again, I'll read it all. The Son is the light flashing forth of God's goodness, and the exact character of his substance or reality. And Jesus loved to talk about his Father. And then the fourth. So that's Jesus, unique God-man, who was connected to his Father and shared about that relationship. And the fourth dimension is that from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus assumed and spoke about his Father as a father to others as well. He did not treat his relationship as exclusive. It was special, but then he said, come on in to this special relationship. Special but not exclusive. And I just find it fascinating that from the very beginning, he starts to do this without preamble. He just does it in the Sermon on the Mount. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16, verse 44 of Matthew 5. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 6:1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Immediately included others. You can stay outside that, of course. You can choose not to be, but Jesus was inclusive in his heart and his purpose. He said, you're in. The Lord's Prayer famously, as Bruce referred to, our Father. That's the starting point. We're all included, if you want to be. So we get this grandly growing family from the time that Jesus comes to the earth. Boom! Explosive growth. At Pentecost, even before then, those who were disciples of Jesus, but at Pentecost and thereafter, it's fabulous. And then we have these wonderful words in Galatians 4. Because, I'm going to change the language just a little bit and make it us, we are his sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And then here's the other kind of inclusiveness I see in Jesus. I mean, many. But this one stands out to me in John 17. Father, he's praying, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, my goodness, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So he's not happy until all of his big family has that kind of closeness with him. Now, it's interesting, Jesus' prayer, and this touches something fundamental about how we pray. And it's also evident in what was shared this morning about speaking God's word. If you're speaking God's word, you're speaking his heart. Right? You're lining up. One of the ways I find very helpful to think about prayer is that it's thinking God's thoughts after him. Or feeling God's heart after him. Or repeating God's voice after him. You know, vary it as you wish. What that does is shift the whole equation from what I'm struggling to get to what he's entirely committed to and is far better than what I think I'm committed to. Sometimes I think I've got, you know, better ideas than he does. Anyone else have that problem? Got a better idea than God. And I can't even say that's infrequent. I'd be dishonest. But when you take his word, hear his heart, find out what he's thinking about something, and then speak that, pray that, things start to happen. And so we have this prayer that Jesus wanted those to be with him. He's praying to his Father. If everything that Jesus said and did was from his Father, was that his Father's heart? It certainly was. There's a rhetorical question, but I'm still looking for a response. Yeah, it was in his Father's heart. So Jesus is praying to his Father the very thing that the Father wants, because Jesus couldn't possibly pray anything against his Father's will. He had no ambition as a son outside his Father. Zero. Ambition as a son. Apart from his Father, his Father's heart, his Father's character, his Father's words, his Father's purposes. And so when he prays, we get perfect prayers. Now, I could talk about the revelation of the Son and the Father together after Jesus goes back to heaven. So in the epistles, in what we have. But instead of doing that, let's do something live action. Joey, do you want to come up? Bruce, would you grab me that stool, please, that's up there? I see there's a laptop on it. So this is something that, again, has to do with speaking God's word we've been looking at on Tuesday nights. Better put my glasses on. So Joey's going to speak the words of Jesus. And it's just a question of who's going to sit in the chair.
No pressure, no.
So, what I said a couple of minutes ago, we're going to hear God's heart. So when you hear God's heart, Joey's going to be speaking to Christine, but you may find yourself like listening in terms of what God is saying to her, like walking on the beach, looking for the stones or driftwood or shells, and at the same time receiving what God is saying to you through the words, because it's for all of us. It's specific, and it's for all of us. And you can... John, close your eyes.
They can't see you. So, Christine, I'm going to read to you from something that the Lord has written from Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. We praise be to the God and Father of your Lord, Jesus. He has so blessed you in the heavenly realms with every possible spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose you, Christine, in Him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined you for adoption as His daughter through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given you in the one He loves. In Him, Christine, you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of your sins, in accordance with the riches of His grace that He has lavished on you. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to you the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. In Him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Nothing is accidental. You were included in Jesus when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, Christine, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Because of His great love for you, God, who is so amazingly rich in mercy, He made you alive with Jesus Christ even when you were dead in transgressions. God the Father raised you up with Christ, and He has seated you with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. By grace, Christine, you have been saved through your faith. Through your faith. He sees your faith. It's not from you, yourself. It's the gift of God. By grace, you have been saved through your faith. You are God's handiwork. You are. You are God's handiwork. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do.
I just, several of those verses are verses that I pray over myself or speak out on a regular basis. And it just shows to me the power of God's word, right? It says that his word is active and alive. And so just the energy that is in the word of God, that it really does bring life and hope and joy.
Anyone else? What'd you feel? Yes. Yes. Thank you. So, my simple definition, working definition of religious spirit is anything that says, if I could just do a little bit better, things would be okay. Between me and the Father. So what you just shared is these verses punch that illusion. And it is an illusion. It's a lie and an illusion which traps us. And so in Christine sharing that you speak a number of those verses over your life, that's one of the things you're doing. You're preventing the incursion that says, oh, if you could just. And it's a lie. Thank you. Anyone else? Chosen. There's that word again. It came up earlier. Chosen. Yes. Identified and chosen by the Father. Mm-hmm. Yes. Removes all competition, striving, the obligation to prove yourself, to make yourself satisfactory. You're already predestined, chosen. Anyone else? Yes, Jen. That's awesome. Thank you. And that's a reminder to me, because I would have forgotten too, that these verses I have found in the last month or so have become powerful intercessory tools for me. All I have to do is think about an individual that is in some kind of situation, or maybe not in a situation. Someone I just, for whatever reason, because this is what happens to me, the Word of God says there's destiny there to be realized. He doesn't even give me definition necessarily. I don't need definition. All I need to do is to speak, or in my heart go to whatever this, let's just pick a name out of a hat, Rick. Rick? Rick's not in the room. He may be the other side of the world. It's irrelevant. Rick, God has blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose you, Rick, in him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, and so on. And a friend of mine raised the question this past Tuesday, so what do you do with those who haven't yet become friends of Jesus? They haven't come into relationship. Well, there's the declaration. You can declare it with the faith, the measure of faith you have. You can change the verb tenses if you like. He is blessing you. He is choosing you. And so on. Whatever works, that the faith that's deposited and the truth that's deposited in these words from Scripture get translated into whatever situation you're facing. Whether it's with children, other relatives, friends, and so on. So I have just one other thing. If there's anyone here who's never had a chance before to know that they're adopted, to know that they're adopted. When we're done here, I'd like you to come up, and either myself or Joey, male or female, will read this to you. Because this is the Father's heart for you. This is the Father's heart for us. It's an inclusive heart. The doors of His heart are open to us. So I'm just going to hang here. When we're done, feel free to come on up. Because I would love to speak the truth of the relationship that's in the Father's heart.